real home group. But you know, like I'm honored to introduce Bill and Tammy, who I've known since 2006, and they've been a big part of my program, and we've done a number of these couple shares here in Lompoc, and in my humble opinion, less than humble opinion, they're far and away the best. That they work great programs. And with that, who's first?
Have to use the term lady loosely. My name is Tammy. I'm an alcoholic. my sobriety date is January 1st of 1988. My home group is the 6 a.m. Sickies, and we meet at the San Ynez Valley Mission. All but two of you have been there. I want to welcome Robin and welcome home. I'm here to tell you that you never have to take another drink one day at a time for the rest of your life if you choose not to. And if you do choose to, we can help you not drink anyway. I don't like going first. Bill kind of warms me up, I just don't like going first. I will tell you a little bit about the family that I came from, because it's a couple's pitch. I want to focus on our relationship and the relationships in my life today, because that's how we do what we do. And Alcoholics Anonymous has allowed us to have a life beyond our wildest imaginations. Neither one of us came from families that gave us any example of how to do this thing called marriage and not kill each other. My family was a drunken father, a neurotic mother that loved to push his buttons. She would encourage him to beat her by instigating and pissing him off, and then he would take it out on her. She was black and blue all the time, and if shit wasn't flying around the house, we didn't, quite know how to behave. We were never sure when we got home from school, or when he got home from work at night, if he was going to be a nice guy or mean. We just had no idea. So as a result of that, you walk around on eggshells all the time. I was completely unable to stand still in anybody's anger. Absolutely unable to stand still in anybody's anger. My out was to run down the hall to my bedroom and play with my Barbie dolls. That was my out, and that's what I did. And they had these fabulous relationships, my Barbies. They were nice to each other. It was a little odd that they were having sex. I mean, 7-year-olds shouldn't have Barbies that are having sex. That's a little odd, because we don't know about those things at 7 years old, or at least we shouldn't. I come from a family that has sexual abuse in it. I come from a family that had a lot of rage in it, a lot of fighting, a lot of screaming, a lot of name-calling. I was called a slut, a C, and a W before I even knew what the words meant. I had no idea what my father was calling me, but that's what I was. As I grew up, my mother informed me that the way to a man's heart was through his stomach and his penis. So that's how I came to you. I got good at both. That's what I did. I pursued men as much as I pursued alcohol. I could manipulate you guys. I could get anything I wanted from you, because that's what I did. I was a naked table dancing fool. You buy drinks for naked table dancing fools. That's where alcohol takes me. By the time I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, my big fear here was how in the hell I was going to do a wedding without champagne. Because, there's some really great guys in here. You guys are sober. I was interested. Some of you were really cute, too. That was my biggest fear. How am I going to get married and walk down the aisle and not do the champagne toast? Really? I weighed 82 pounds. At 5'3", my eyeballs got to the room long before I did. I was paste white and just skinny bones, just quaking in my boots. If I spoke, you kind of went, huh? What did she say? My sentences were broken. They never finished. They ran right. All the topics ran right on top of each other. When I shared in meetings, there was a woman that sat across from me, and her reaction to me was this. She would go, " because that's how I talked. You couldn't keep up with the topics that were coming out of my mouth. There was so much crap inside of me that I couldn't speak without having it all dump on top of you at once. I don't know why that's emotional, other than you guys loved me through that. On my first birthday, I had a gentleman say to me, he was a biker dude, and I really liked badass biker guys. And he was this biker guy, and he sat across the room from me that day, and he said, "Happy birthday, little one. God dang, it's a miracle that you even stayed as long as you did. You still remind me of a hummingbird, though, flapping its wings at 900 miles an hour and not going anywhere." I was completely crushed. I thought, "You asshole. How mean." Yeah, I look back on that now, and it was such the truth. I just was spinning. I was just spinning. There was no. I had my feet firmly planted in midair. Fast forward a little bit. Now there's this woman that sat in the room and shook her head at me and kind of tried to follow what I was saying. And after the meeting, she'd come up and she'd ask me about one of those 50 topics that I had talked about, and I thought she really heard me. I really thought that one person in the world had finally heard what I had to say, because she expressed an interest, and no one had expressed an interest in anything I had to say. So long about, and I don't recommend this to anybody, especially you back there, not to single you out, but don't wait 18 months to get a sponsor, because you can hang on in Alcoholics Anonymous for 18 months without a sponsor. You can do it, really, and be fine. You'll be fine. I'm fine, really. And can I get you some coffee? I was of service, full bore service. That's what I did to stay sober for the first 18 months. I washed ashtrays and coffee cups, and we did a potluck on Saturday nights, and it was mine and Joe's meeting, and it was our meeting, and we would fight about who was going to lead it that week. And just, it was amazing to be that involved in a group and have a group of people wrap around you, because you do a potluck on Saturday night, because you wash the ashtrays. I was told I was the best ashtray washer that they had. And I was. You know that goo that gets stuck in there? I'd scrub that. I'd scrub it out. My ashtrays were spotless. And I was proud of them. And I had gone so far down the scale that being able to wash an ashtray successfully was a really big deal. It was a big deal. And you guys acknowledge that. This woman, I finally, at 18 months of sobriety, called her up and I said, "I'm going crazy. I'm going crazy. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm going to blow up any minute." She said, "Well, you get your big book and a journal and a pen, young lady, and come on over to my house." Zip! I was there in like 10 minutes. And we got to work on the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this woman took me through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she had this little dog, Bert. And I told you about my obsession with men. Bert loved milk bones. And Bert had this little squeaky hot dog in a sock. And we would toss the sock for Bert, and if you'd squeak it, and if you said milk bone, Bert would lose his mind and run to the cupboard. I don't know why I'm sharing this. Bert was sporting a Woody one afternoon and decided he was going to fix it. And I'm saying, "Bert, milk bone. Bert's going for it. Bert's taking care of the Woody problem. He don't give a shit about milk bones." And I looked at my sponsor and I go, "Oh my God, men are like that." She said, "I love you, Bert." It took the dog for me to recognize that what I was chasing was not real. That what I that you were not, that penis was not going to fix me. That was not going to take care of the big gaping hole that was inside of me. That what needed to be filled, what needed to fill that gaping hole was God. What needed to fill that gaping hole was being of service in Alcoholics Anonymous. What needed to fill that gaping hole was grabbing onto that sponsor and walking through the steps. I mentioned that we didn't come from sane and healthy, happy homes at 9 years of sobriety. Because I did steps, because I learned how to go to work on a daily basis, because I learned how to suit up and show up and be of service and give the steps away and keep working the steps and doing all that stuff, I got to stay sober for 9 years. And my behavior changed dramatically at work. My husband and I had purchased a business. My opinion, he was more involved in the business and he quit paying attention to me. So I sought attention elsewhere. I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of that at all, and it's very painful to tell you about that when he's sitting here in the room. But I'm here to tell you that we walked through that with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. We grabbed on to people in the program and said, how do we do this? How do you deal with infidelity? How do you deal with that? Do you know what? We couldn't find people whose marriage had survived it. We were told do the steps. We were told go to counseling. So we started to do steps together. We started to go to counseling. And when we went to counseling, we found out from this person that what we needed to do was talk to each other. So what we came up with was save a little money. Let's just pour a pot of coffee and sit down at our kitchen table. And maybe what we needed to do when we got that tied up in knots thing going on was sit down at the kitchen table and have a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's rules in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the rules are you don't get to interrupt, you don't get to crosstalk, you don't get to voice your opinion, you don't get to jump in the middle and cut the person off. They get to finish sharing whatever it is they need to share. And we don't get to give them flack back about that. We just get to allow that other person to be who they are and what they are in that moment. So our little meetings at the kitchen table still go on today. We had one recently, last week. I am usually the one that explodes because I am fine for quite a while and then I go poof, and then I puke all over you and then I'm good. But it takes a while, a long while for me to get there. Our life has been really, really insane for the last 2 months. We made a decision in July to move to Seattle. We're going to Seattle. Put the house on the market. Get two offers right away. Put the notice in at work. Everything's rocking along. Falls out of escrow. We're not moving yet. I don't know about you guys, but I'm an alcoholic and I don't do yet very well at all. I don't wait very well at all. My sponsor used to say to me, honey, you're just going to have to wait. You just have to wait. And I could hear her voice, and I couldn't hear it. I could hear it, but I wouldn't respond to it. I could hear it, but I didn't act. In other words, I didn't call my current sponsor and share this bananas with her. I started to tailspin. And I said at work, I go, wait, it fell out of escrow. And they said, well, let's get you protected. You can just rescind your notice. Cool. So I write a rescind letter, and I put a date on it. That said, I'm going to extend my termination date to here, rather than just say, I'm not leaving yet. I put a fucking date on it. So they took action. What are they going to do? Needless to say, next Friday, I'm out of work. They managed to extend me. That was October 18th, and they have managed to keep me on until now. So they kept me 2 additional months beyond what I told them I was leaving. And they found something for me to do because they replaced me. I am here to tell you at 25 years of sobriety that my ego took a hit like you wouldn't believe. And a lot of it fell on my husband's head. Because I could not deal with, I am not that person anymore. And what I found out is that I was very wrapped up in my job. My whole identity was that job. And it's not who I am, it's what I do. So last weekend, it finally blew up for me. I was like, man, if I sit on this freaking couch for one more afternoon in front of this TV watching reruns of Law & Order SVU, Special Victims, it occurred to me what I was doing as being the special victim, because I came in here with a big neon V on my forehead. And we had the conversation, and I told Bill exactly what I felt, and I told him what was going on for me. I said, I'm just going to blow up. I can't do this anymore. It's been really hard, and I don't know what's going to come down the pike. I don't know. The fear hit that I immediately went into the place of, well, shit, now we're going to lose the house. I'm going to lose the brand new car. I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose that. All this material shit. My butt is sober. I was a belligerent, table-dancing, drunken, unemployable idiot when I got here. I didn't have a house to lose. I had a 280Z, and all my belongings were in it. That's what I had when I got here for material things. And all I wanted when I got here was that big, gaping hole to get filled. I didn't want to be lonely and terrified anymore. I wanted somebody to hear me. I didn't give a shit about a house or a new car. I was worried about the champagne thing at at the wedding. But all that other stuff didn't matter. What mattered to me was showing up to wash those ashtrays. What mattered was showing up to wash the coffee cups. What mattered was sticking my hand out to a newcomer and say, there's hope here. You don't have to be crazy. You don't have to not show up anymore. You don't have to do this thing by yourself anymore. That's what I wanted when I got here, and I have that today. So I'm losing nothing. I'm losing nothing. Because we were able to have that conversation last weekend, the household has settled down a little bit. I'm the crazy person. I don't know if you guys have caught on yet. You will when you hear Bill. He's the calmer piece of this relationship. And it's not that he doesn't stress about things either. He just doesn't carry it on his sleeve like I do. I know that he's feeling the very same things I am. It's not that I'm not doing my program. I'm doing it the very best that I know how to do it. And sometimes that's not pretty. And sometimes my feet are flying around in the air. And sometimes I want to kick people's ass when I call them up and they start sharing their experience, strength, and hope, and I don't want to hear it. I had to get that in because to Turtle and I had a conversation. I called her to say hey, and she started sharing her experience, and I was like, it didn't have a good outcome. I don't want to hear this. And all she was trying to say is, it's going to be okay. It didn't have a good outcome, and I'm okay. It's okay. Well, if I don't pick up a drink today, I'm okay. I'm good. My insides are calm most of the time. Because of that conversation, we've been doing movies because we have the house still on the market, and there's all these open houses going on, and there's people walking through our home. So we've been doing movies. Today we went and saw The Last Vegas. And I'm here. It was a riot. I loved it. I thought it was absolutely hysterical. And I can't remember now what was so funny about that in the car. What the heck did I say? I've lost it. Anyways, it was a really funny movie. We've been doing date weekends, and I've enjoyed that date time. Going to the movies is usually a date for us. So because we've got all these open houses going on, we're doing a lot of dating. Pretty cool. Nothing wrong with that. We have been married for 22 years. And we've been together for 24. It's like, really? The same guy? Really? What we share today and the adventure that we're on, what we're shooting for is Seattle. Because our grandkids are there and our daughter. We've been Candyland parents for 20-some years together. The daughter would come to visit once or twice a year, and we'd go up there once every other year or so. So there's not been a whole lot of big, close relationship thing happening there, and maybe God's got another plan. I've been job hunting for 2.5 months and have not had a single nibble. I get the obligatory, thank you for your application, we'll keep you posted if the hiring manager wants to talk to you. Basically, don't call us, we'll call you. I do not get this new electronic application process. It sucks. I'm like, get me, I need to talk to somebody because I can sell it if I can get you on the phone. So out of the blue, I posted on this one website specifically for what I do, and I got a phone call from this headhunter. She says, you know, you're perfect for this job in Portland. I ain't going to Portland. I'm going to Seattle. I'm going to talk about Portland. What the hell's in Portland? I said, really? What do you have? So she starts explaining this job to me, and it's actually kind of a perfect fit. And it's also at the same company I work for, so it would be, I could transition very easily into this other hotel. So I finally talked to the guy on Thursday, and I had a really good interview with him. I called my sponsor before I called for the job. I said, I just needed to hear your voice. Thank you very much. I'm glad you got an answering machine. She called me back 3 minutes later, and I said, I don't know how to do this. It's been like 12 years since I've done a job interview. She said, honey, just be yourself, and you're already currently employed. Think about you already have a job. There's nothing to be afraid of. I went, oh, yeah, she's right. So when I did this interview, it was very comfortable. It was very, very comfortable. And I don't know what God's got in store. Maybe we're supposed to be 3 hours from the kids. maybe we're supposed to be. Maybe we're supposed to stay here. I have no freaking clue at this point. And you know what? Whatever. I'm like so surrendered. It's like, whatever. What I know is we're on an adventure. We're on it together. And we somehow come out of our adventures one way or another back on top. We get back to us. We get back to what's important to us every time. And we have been through quite a few experiences together that would have broken up many, many other couples. We really have done to each other pretty much everything you can do. And we still came out of it okay. That's my best buddy over there. We hang pretty good together. I am usually the pessimist in the family. I'm the guy that says, we're going to lose it all. It's going tomorrow. And Bill says, just breathe in and out, honey. Let's go to a meeting. And it's like... Captain Serenity, Jesus, I'm ready to kill somebody. He's all calm. And it's okay. And maybe that's why it works. Maybe that's why it works. We're very different in a lot of ways. He works a very rigid program, and I don't. I don't. We're different. The beauty is we get to acknowledge the fact that we both do it differently, and it's okay to do it different. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love the relationship that I have in my life today. I love that it started with the relationship with God as being paramount. That is number one, because all the other relationships in my life work when I keep that relationship going strong. Ron, thank you very much for asking us to come and share with you guys today, and thanks for showing up and listening to me. I will turn it over to my husband.
Bill Alcoholic here, and Ron, wherever Ron went. Thank you very much. Oh, a little shock treatment down here. Yeah. Podium pentothal, that's what they call this. It is always an honor and a privilege to share an Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's particularly an honor to be able to talk about our relationship. And many people go, what the hell are you talking about relationships for? You know, and it is my belief that's what this whole program is, that this is a program of relationships. And it starts with the relationship we have with the higher power. And once we start to learn how to do that, at least for me, then I can start having in this relationship. First, it starts with a sponsor, somebody that got sober with me at the same time. And I start having this new experience of transparency without fear. And that was a big thing for me. But get the important stuff out of the way first. My sobriety date is June 2nd, 1987. My home group is the 6 a.m. Sickies. Earl U is my sponsor, and I stay in service. I stay in service with my home group, and I stay in service with the hospitals and institutions. And I do things wherever I can. You know, I sponsor, and I'm sponsored, and I'm grateful for that. And those were all very difficult things in the very beginning. I was married before, and to kind of give an example of where I went in my last few years, my wife picked me up after I'd been locked up for a period of time for multiple counts of manslaughter when I passed out drunk and killed a couple people and maimed another guy. And so I was locked up for a while, and the day she picked me up, she had been able to have a period removed from me. And on our way home, she's telling me that we're going to get a divorce. And she says, you're not the man I married, nor will you ever be. And at that moment, I knew I could not argue against that. There was nothing that I could do that could change me. Though I desperately wanted it for all of our time together, I knew as I was, and as much as I wished it to be different, she was exactly right. I could never become those things that maybe I wanted as a kid or whatever, as much as I tried. And you would think at that point in time, that would have been enough, and that would have been enough to surrender and say, I give up and I want a different way. No, you know, I just got deeper into bottles, got deeper into the drugs, got deeper into isolation. On my last days, I'm showing up in laundromats in the middle of the night just to be around people. I don't want you to talk to me. I just want to see human beings, you know. And it was a terrible, dark time. And it wasn't until I hit that final surrender And I just said that prayer that I think we all say in some shape or form, the prayer that we say when we finally get to stay here is God, I need help. And I became aware of something. There was something there. There was something there that possibly, you know, I just wanted help. I didn't even ask to quit drinking. I go, I just need help. And things began to change for me. And then I called the person that I hated most in the world, the person that could do something that I couldn't do. And I called my dad because he was able to quit drinking. You know, I worked with my brother in this construction, at this construction company, and he had gotten sober too. And he was sober just a couple months. And I saw the change in him. I knew he was such a terrible alcoholic, and yet it was changing in him. And I saw the things in my dad, the only time I would speak with him is I would call him up drunk to argue about this God he was turning his life over to. You know, I just wanted to find some crack in the veneer, something to prove that that too wouldn't work. That, yeah, it was, you know, what I was told, you know, that as a man you have to take care of your own problems and everything. And I couldn't find that crack. So I finally got into Alcoholics Anonymous. And it started first with this tentative trust that something out there was going to restore me to the sanity, get me out of this black pit. And then I enter into this home group, my first home group, and it's a morning meeting. And they're saying, you know, if you want to stay sober, get in service, get involved. And I was so desperately afraid of drinking again that I'd do that. And I'd do the, you know, I'd started socializing with you. And so I started setting up chairs. And what that started doing for me is I started learning how to have conversations with you and allow you to ask questions of me, and slowly beginning that trust. Having a relationship with a man and starting to disclose that I am fearful, that I have done some things that I'm truly ashamed, the places that those demoralizing places that drinking and drugs have taken me, you know, that I know nobody else has experienced, and then finding out I'm not alone. Just, you know, the faith builds on those experiences. And it's that taking the risk. You know, let me go out here into this darkness and expose this, and I'm still okay. You know, that's what's given me courage to go forward, you know. And so first it starts off with chairs, then it starts sharing with another man, then it starts taking these steps a little bit, you know. I start getting into that first step, and I understand that I am powerless, you know, that my life is unmanageable. And then step two is not so difficult because I know something greater than me might be the solution. If I'm not, it's got to be. And then that step three, you know, I'm starting to make this commitment. You know, I've got to. Only because I read ahead. I'm a good alcoholic. I want to read ahead, make sure I got the answers before I ask the questions. And I know what's coming up. And I'll be damned if I can do those things. Not by myself. You know? And so I'm going to trust whatever this is, because I know I have to put this crap down on paper and talk to somebody. You know? Why? Because I read ahead and I saw if I don't do this, I'm going to drink. And I know for me to drink this time, you know, I don't think I'm going to die. I share this often. I've been convinced. I've been through so many near-death experiences that what would happen with me is I would end up in some lockdown ward, propped up against the wall, and somebody wiping spit off my face. That's what's ahead for me, you know. I don't want that. So I start this relationship. And it's a phenomenal relationship. I don't know what God is, but I have this kind of the parameters, you know, that he's loving and caring. That's all. Loving and caring. Every time I think I got a handle on what God is, it gets bigger. You know, my idea turns left. My spiritual adventure, and it's been an adventure, has taken so many turns and taken to me places where I thought I would just be crazy. And it's the same thing with relationships with people. I have never had a relationship, a meaningful, lasting relationship with another man, because I've never trusted them. You know, it's men have always been bad experiences in my life. They've broken homes. They've abused me. They've beat me. They've left, you know. And so I know that's going to happen again. Women, different story. You understand me, you know, and which is the danger. You know, my only validation in life was the sexual thing, you know, and it was, you know, so Tammy spoke a lot about, that's how we came here, you know, that's how I came here. And to find out how to be friends in a non-sexual manner and to be friends with men in a transparent manner were all new things. And I couldn't do that if it wasn't for the experience and of taking the risks. I believe if I'm not taking risks, then I'm not growing. I have to do uncomfortable things in order to change, to get out of this old pattern I was in. My first year of sobriety, I didn't pay a great deal of attention to what the direction I was given, like don't get into relationships. I got into a lot of relationships, a lot of sober relationships, and they were always sexually oriented, and it always ended up with wreckage. The tough thing, well, I got sober in Pomona. One of the advantages of being in a big metropolitan area is you can just move meetings. You know, if you create a little wreckage here, you just start going to meetings in this town. It's not that far of a drive. And if you have any problems, you just go to this town. Well, that was kind of like a pattern. My brother takes me to a convention in Laughlin, Nevada when I'm 9 months sober. There was a her involved. I met her out there, but something else happened, and it was like a message, you need to be here. And I ended up on my first year birthday. I stayed here for a year, and my sponsor said I'd stay here for a year. I went out there almost every weekend to get hooked in with meetings, and I had meetings, I had sponsor, I had support group up there. So move out there, but this is what God had in store for me. He took me to a place where there was one meeting, and in this meeting, she used to be married to this guy who got fired by that guy who is now living with this person, and they're all in a meeting, and there's nowhere else to go if you want to be sober, and you have to learn how to start dealing with your crap. Thank God. I had nowhere else to go, you know? The other thing that happened to me is when I started working in a casino, and out there, I won't regress. The point I was going to talk about was coming to terms with your past wreckage, and then when you try and get employed out there, you have to get a sheriff's card. Being a convicted felon, everywhere you went to apply for a job, you would have to explain what you did. Now here, I've been working on this for a year. I've been trying, to make things right. But now you start all over. It's like pulling that scab over and seeing that look of disdain from people, that just what a pathetic human being you are. We thank you. We are not interested in having you here, over and over and over. And trusting the process. You say it matters not what they do. It matters what you do. So you have to suit up and show up, and you have to keep on trying to put your best foot forward. And I did that until I met somebody, and they said, we're interested in what you're doing now. And they gave me an opportunity to work. And the same thing happened about relationships. My first year out in Laughlin and Bullhead, I'm trying to do things different, and I keep on getting crazy women in my life. And then they passed on this word of advice. It says, water seeks its own level. Thank you very much. So if I want to do things different, I got to, you have to do different things. And so I stopped dating. And I started doing the hard things, which was I started getting involved in men's group and doing that stuff that was extremely uncomfortable for me. And it just opened up just great worlds, for me. Got me closer to a sponsor. It got me closer to men. I started developing relationships with them more. As long as I have, women on the side for me, and this is just for me, I could kind of, give you a little of this and give you a little of this and you a little, and nobody got to know me, But when I remove that validation, I now have to find a new way of becoming whole. And what it is, I think in my mind, is I was finding a healthy way of becoming whole. Now, I didn't get well real quick. As Tammy talked about her hummingbird story, I was 4 years sober, and I'm chairing a convention out in Laughlin, and some people came up from my home group, and they go, Bill, you're still alive. And I'm looking at them kind of surprised, because I'm thinking I'm really working this deal good, and I'm doing all this stuff. They go, man, we really wondered about you, because you got to admit, you weren't wrapped real tight when you left. So we have these moments of humility and sobriety, or people make us right size. Thank God for the people that walk before me. But anyway, what happened is I started getting involved with these men and getting a little more comfortable, getting service commitments with men. We started a men's retreat and stuff. That was actually after I met Tammy. But then I met Tammy. I met Tammy in the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Not the sanest place to shop, but, you know, it was better than what I had had in the past. And we started, you know. We did a lot of things that were rocky, but we did a lot of things right. And the biggest thing, I think, is we were both really grounded in the program. We moved forward. I think we were given a thing of grace moving forward. The hardest part about the relationships is I have a couple of defects. One is I'm a scorekeeper, and I found out that doesn't work in a relationship because as long as I'm a scorekeeper, I'm only given so much. You know, I've done all of these. Now I'm going to sit back and wait for you to catch up, and that doesn't work. The other thing I do is I withhold. I withhold, and you don't get me. When we split up, when Tammy's talking about it, 9 years, you know, we had the infidelity thing, but also at the same time, Tammy didn't speak of this, but she started having her sexual abuse revealed to her, and so she's going through all this incest stuff, that processing, and as we're trying to get back together, for people that don't understand how that works, there is no physical contact during this processing time. I am a bad guy, no matter how good my intentions could be. And we want to get back together. And all of a sudden, after 9 years of being married, we have to find a new way of communicating. And we have to find a new way of being a friend and a new way of being partners. And it was so frightening and so scary. During this time, you know, what do you do? What saved us were the traditions of this program and the steps of this program and the people around us. And though, like Tammy said, you know, we couldn't find anybody that had done this successfully, we had a lot of people that had done it sober. They didn't get to stay together, but they stayed sober. So we wanted to do this sober and learn how to stay together. And just like being sober, the trick is you don't leave. You know, we sometimes go, we're in the hallway, we're in between doorways, and we were in a long hallway, and it was a frightening thing, and often filled with anger, and often filled with resentment, and all this other crap that just boils up, and like Tammy said, we just puke on each other. But at least we were doing it, you know, and I am so grateful. I am grateful for the program, because sometimes people say these are outside issues, but this is life. How do I do this sober? You know, how do I have to fix wreckage that I have done and not run away in shame and to a bottle? That's because that's what I do. I want a quick release from pain. You know, Tammy talks about how she viewed what happened with us. And you know what was going on too at the same time? We're involved in this business, a lot of fears going on. I'm feeling a lot of pressure. I'm just totally immersed in this. Tammy's experiencing loss for the first time in her life. People are dying around her. I'm used to that. A lot of people die around me. I've experienced a lot of death. And I'm thinking in my mind, you know, it's all I can do to do this stuff. Buck up and handle this. And I'm not realizing that I'm not being a partner there. You know, one of the things that happens that I learn here, and I've slowly learned, and we learn by being of service, and we learn through sponsorship, that people grow at their own rate. I can't do the steps for somebody. I have to let them experience them. I have to let them make their mistakes. I can give the information. And it's the same thing when we're growing, you know. I can't assume at 9 years that Tammy is equipped to handle something she has never experienced before. And yet I assumed that, you know. So that was me. That was my wall, you know, because at that time I couldn't give her all of me. When we got back together, there was a real decision, just like I had to make on that time when I surrendered this program. If we were going to get together, can we do this in a healthy sense, or am I going to hold this little knee, knee, knee in the back of my head, this sickness, this resentment that I'm going to throw out all the, you know, anytime I get pissed, or can I just say, we're going to do this thing? Can I honestly say and go forth with forgiveness, both for her and for me, for my own behavior, and can we have something healthy? And it's the same thing that happens in sobriety, you know. Can I go forth with sobriety, or am I going to go on the marijuana maintenance trip for a little while? Am I going to just handle this with a little bit of NyQuil for a while? And I bring these things up because I did that for a long time, trying to manage my own sobriety. That's before I got sober, you know. And I'm grateful to say that the answer was yes. And we still work on this. We don't do this perfect. But we do this because we stay engaged first in Alcoholics Anonymous. We stay engaged. We lose a lot of dinner times because we have sponsees calling up during dinner. We're having to go off and do this or we do that because that's a priority. And we have to constantly be reminded of that. You know, the readings in the last couple days have been about that too. You know, we read in the daily reflections in our 6 a.m. meeting. And it's about our primary purpose. What we thought our function in life was, we were mistaken. Our greatest joy comes when we put this first. Because we can take this and we can take it to that table that Tammy's talking about with that pot of coffee. And we can say, this is how I'm feeling. It may not be fact, but this is how I'm feeling. And well, I know the rules. I can't use this as a weapon later for you. You know? We get there sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But thank God we get there. And we're not done getting there. You know? There is so much more. We have been through so much in our marriage and this new adventure going up with the kids. It's going to be something new, you know. I don't have experience with kids. I never was able to be sober with my daughter. She's come down and stayed with us over the years while we're sober, but I don't know anything about kids, and this is going to be something new. There's a lot of jealousy involved. There's a lot of uncertainty, you know. The only thing I can do is what I learned here. We have these traditions that tell us how to act with each other. How can we successfully do this and still stay together? It works just as well as in our home, you know. The one thing I can say is I am honestly grateful for her. She saved my life, I know of twice. You know, I've put her through, I've had a few physical mishaps, and she has managed to... I'm gravitationally challenged. So I have a few. But I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for the people in these rooms. I've known some of these people for a long, long time. There's a lot of love. Love happens here. Hope happens here. My default setting is isolation, scorekeeping, resentment, withholding. I need to stay engaged with you guys, so I can stay open to the possibilities you have to offer. So it's great. I'm grateful to be sober, and I want to thank Ron very much. Thanks.
And I'd like to thank Bill and Tammy again for showing up and make an apology to them and to you. I said to somebody, I dropped the ball on getting the information out. But this meeting was my idea. I'm the one that got it approved. And I've learned from these people, from Bill and Tammy and Billy and Pete and Turtle, who came before me in this program, a couple of things. One, not to have expectations, and I made some significant progress on that, and two, that I'm responsible, and I need to look for my part in things, and I didn't follow up. I had a lot of things on my plate, but I didn't follow up enough, and I will follow up better. In fact, I'm going to put the announcements in baskets here at the Freedom Group tonight before I leave town. I was exhausted last weekend, and I didn't do that, But anyway, it is what it is. And I had no acceptance when I came in here. And thanks again to the example of people like Turtle wasn't out here. I mean, Turtle, Bill, Tammy, Billy, Pete, and seeing newcomers being responsible and being a part of. Thank you for reading, you know, Robin, and you know, I hope you'll keep coming back, and I, you know, like, and I hope you find the peace and serenity that, you know, in, amidst all the turmoil that, you know, Bill and Tammy shared about. And and with that, you know, like, I'm going to ask Billy to read a vision for you. I'm not reading glasses. Can't see.
My name is Billy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Billy.
A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Are you going to be able to put this on the